1, 2. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God is good.
All the time.
God is truly a good God. This morning, I'm here again, standing in front here to minister the word of God to you. I feel like it's the hardest message that God gave me to really bring to you. But as a child of God and being obedient to God, sometimes it's not what we like and how we would like to do it, but we need to do it how God wants us to do it. Sometimes, because of the nature of the message, we think sometimes, oh my word, Lord, I don't want to. Let somebody else do it, or give me something else to speak on. I have another message. I think, well, I could swap that one and put that one aside. But no, this is what God bugging me to do. And this is the one He wants me to share with you this morning. And my wife, when she came out to the bar this morning, she said, it's Father's Day. It's Father's Day. And the message you're going to bring is about fathers. So I said, thank you, Lord. You know, there's so much of obstacle also that arise, but God is a good God, and He's a faithful God. And we need to be faithful to Him also. And be obedient to Him when He commands us to do something. And I want to be that obedient servant to deliver God's word. I'm just the postman. I'm delivering. And God gonna do the rest. So I pray this morning that this message will encourage us, and we will accept the word of God, nothing else but the word of God, and it's God's truth. And God's word is there to encourage us, to edify us, to strengthen us, also to correct us, and to help us to walk the way God wants us to go as Christians. And for those who don't know Christ also, it will help you to come to His knowledge, that you also can walk in His truth. And my topic this morning is training and disciplining children. But I want to use the passage from 1 Samuel chapter 2, reading from verses 12 to verses 36. And this was a man of God, a man that was in office, a priest. His name is Eli. So if you have a Bible, you turn with me, 1 Samuel chapter 2, I'm reading from verses 12 to 36. Let's pray first. Father, in the name of Jesus, this morning as I stand before you to minister to your people, I come with a humble heart, Lord, relying and depending on you and your Holy Spirit, Lord, to lead me and to guide me through this message. As I come as an empty vessel, willing to be used and ready to be used by you, Lord, I give my entire being over to you, and ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus and through your Holy Spirit, would you lead me and guide me? I pray for clarity. I pray, O God, for wisdom. I pray for understanding, O God, as you impart wisdom, knowledge, and understanding in our hearts, O God. And I want to speak what is on your heart, Lord. Use me, Lord. Here am I, ready to be used by you. I pray for your anointing upon me and upon your word, and upon each and every one of us here today, under the sound of your voice. Have your full and complete way, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and praise God. Okay. 1 Samuel chapter 2, reading from verses 12 to 36. And the heading of that scripture says, Eli's wicked sons. Eli's sons were wicked. They had no regard for the Lord. Now it was the practice of the priests that whenever any of the people offered a sacrifice, the priest's servant would come with a three-pronged fork in his hand while the meat was being boiled, and would plunge the fork into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot. Whatever the fork brought up, the priest would take for himself. This is how they treated all the Israelites who came to Shiloh. But even before the fat was burnt, the priest's servant would come and say to the person who was sacrificing, "Give the priest some meat to roast. He won't accept boiled meat from you, but only raw." If the person said to him, "Let the fat be burned first, and then take whatever you want," the servant would answer, "No, hand it over now. If you don't, I'll take it by force." This sin of the young men was very great in the Lord's sight, for they were treating the Lord's offering with contempt. But Samuel was ministering before the Lord, a boy wearing a linen ephah, who each year his mother made him a little robe and took it to him when she went up with her husband to offer the annual sacrifice. Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife, saying, May the Lord give you children by this woman to take the place of the one she prayed for and give to the Lord. Then they would go home, and the Lord was gracious to Anna. She gave birth to three sons and two daughters. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord. Now Eli was very old. Heard about everything his sons were doing to all Israel, and how they slept with the women who serve at the entrance to the tent of meeting. So he said to them, Why do you such things? I hear from all the people about these wicked deeds of yours. No, my sons, the report I hear spreading among the Lord's people is not good. If one person sins against another, God may mediate, for God will mediate for the offerings, for the offender, sorry. God will mediate for the offenders. But if anyone sin against the Lord, who will intercede for them? His sons, however, did not listen to their father's rebuke, for it was the Lord's will to put them to death. And the boy Samuel continued to grow in stature and in favor with the Lord and with people. Verse 27 says, prophecy against the house of Eli. Now a man of God came to Eli and said to him, "This is what the Lord says. Did I not clearly reveal myself to your ancestors' family when they were in Egypt under Pharaoh's? I choose your ancestor out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to go up to my altar, to burn incense, and to wear an ephod in my presence. I also give your ancestors' family all the food of Israel, of offerings presented by the Israelites. Why do you scorn my sacrifice and offering that I prescribe for my dwelling? Why do you honor your sons more than me by fattening yourselves on the choice parts of every offering made by my people, Israel? Therefore, the Lord God of Israel declares, I promise that members of your family would minister before me forever, but now the Lord declares, far be it from me. Those who honor me, I will honor, but those who despise me will be dismayed. The time is coming when I cut short your strength and the strength of your priestly house, so that no one in it will reach old age. And you will see distress in my dwelling. Although good will be done to Israel, no one in your family line will ever reach old age. Every one of you that I do not cut off from serving at my altar, I will spare only to destroy you, to destroy your sight and sap your strength, and all your descendants will die in the prime of life. I will stop there. This passage showing as a father overlook the early age of his children to bring them up and train them in God's way. And because he displeased God by doing that, not taking that time out to discipline, to correct his children, he leave it too late. And because he leave it too late, there are repercussions, there are consequences that happen. And when he decide to take things in hand, it was too late. They have a saying, a proverb, that says, you can train a tree when it's young, but trying to bend it when it's old, you'll break it. In other words, you deal with things right from the beginning. Don't leave it too late, because leaving it too late, it have its consequences. And sometimes these consequences, they cause us there. And that's the same thing with Eli and his sons. Because he overlooked it, this man was busy with his duty in the priestly office, but with his family, he refused to take things in hand. And because of that, these guys grew up and they started to bring disgrace, bring shame and disrespect to God's sacred place. They started to bully people there because these guys were bullies. They started to sleep with the women at God, at the place of worship, God's sacred place. So these guys had no regards for God and for his house, and for even for their father. They had no respect for their father's office that he owed, that position as a priest. And because of that, God wasn't pleased with Eli, what his sons were doing, and he as a father failed to take charge to bring order in his family. So we as fathers and as mothers And for those who don't have kids, when that time comes when you will get kids, we need to learn to take charge of our children, to train them and to discipline them. Not how the world say we should discipline them, how the government say we should discipline them. God institute government and we should obey government. But when government started to step out of line, out of God's law, and started to do things contrary to the way God say how we should do things, we as Christians should take a stand. Right? Remember what Paul say with Peter and these guys when they were ordered not to preach Jesus in this place? They can stay, but don't preach Jesus. What would these guys do? Did they do what the authorities say? No. They do what God say rather than what man say. So we as Christians, we are governed by the rules that God give us. And we supposed to be able to do what God say, not what man say. If man going contrary to God's way, we need to take a stand for what God say and do what God say. And as parents, we have that responsibility and that duty. God placed it upon us as parents, as ministers, to teach and to train and to discipline. Sometimes it's hard because some people say, I don't want to hurt my children. I don't want to hurt my child. I don't want to see them crying. But if you're going to look at the crying and how they feel, rather than bringing them up in the right way, and then later down in their life, these children produce characters whereby is unpleasant to society, disrespectful to the law, to the authorities, disrespectful to God, disrespectful to you, bring shame and disgrace to you. God wouldn't please with you. So therefore, before it gets to that point, what we need to do is to deal with it right there and then. Nip it in the bud. Deal with it. Because we love our kids. If we love them, we're going to train them. We're going to discipline them. We don't want to abuse our children. We want to train them, discipline them, and love them. Bring them up in a God-fearing way. Because the scripture clearly say, train up a child in the way he or she should go. And when they get old, they will not depart from it. Even though we as Christian and we raise children up in God's way, it didn't say that all the time that our kids will keep on that road. Sometimes they go astray. But because of the teaching, when they reach in certain situation, they're going to remember what we taught them. But if we fail to do that, what are they going to go on? What are they going to rely on? They're going to just rely on the things that they know. And what is the things that they know? To rebel, to abuse, to be disrespectful, to be ungrateful, unruly. So when these kids grow up and they go to hold a job, they don't know how to be respectful. They don't know how to behave themselves. So, in other words, nobody would want them around them because they're being disrespectful, they're being unruly, unmannerly, ungrateful, abusers. Who will want them around them? So therefore, we as parents, we have that duty, that responsibility to bring up our children in the way they should go. And when they get old, they will not depart from it. And how can we know how to rear our children? How we know what we use to really bring our children up? We need to use God's word. And there's a lot of scripture that teaches us how to bring our children up. The Proverbs. Proverbs of Solomon. I jot a few down here. One, according to Proverbs 22 and verse 6 says, train a child how to live the right way. Then even when he is old, he will still live the way. That's Proverbs 22 and verse 6. So if we train them how to live the right way when they get old, they will still live that way. Also, Proverbs 29 talk about discipline your child, and they will give you peace. They will bring you the delight you desire. So when you discipline your child, they will give you peace. But if you fail to do so, what they bring to you? Heartaches and pain, sorrow and misery. Proverbs 19:18 says, discipline your child, for in that there is hope. Do not be a willing party to their death. So, if you fail to discipline your child, you fail to correct them in an early age, you will be a willing party to their death. In other words, you contribute to whatever happened to that child, because you had the responsibility to do what is right then, and you failed to do so. You failed that child. You leave that child on his own, say, okay, leave him, leave she. They're going to learn later. What they will learn is what you don't want them to learn, because they're going to learn the world way. Rebellious, disobedient, unruly, and unmanly, ungrateful, disrespectful. That is what they're going to learn if you leave them. So you don't want to be a willing party to that child's death. What you want to be as an inspirer, an educator, an encourager, a motivator, and a person who loves their children, so that you teach them what is right. That is what you want to do, to be. Proverbs 23 and 13 says, do not withhold discipline from a child. If you punish them with the rod, they will not die. That's a hard one. If you punish them with the rod, they will not die. What that's saying? Is God encouraging abuse? No, he's not. He's not encouraging abuse. What he say, if you use the rod, they will not die. And you use the rod in the right way. A little bit of smacking on the bum, it wouldn't do any harm. But what it do, bring them in line. Help them to know when they do wrong, this is what's going to happen. Right? And we want you to do what is right because we love you. Sometimes just talking alone, it don't work. Sometimes just sending them to the bedroom, say, go to the bedroom and sit down, and you still have the Xbox there. I'll play on the Xbox. You have the television there. Look at the telly. But there's no correction there. But what God wants us to do is to discipline them. And I'll come to that scripture later on. We as Christians, God discipline us. At the time, it don't seem pleasant. It is painful, the scripture say. It is painful, and we don't like it. But we live in a day and an age now whereby everything you do, the government try to take the role of a parent away from them and telling them how to bring up their children. But we as Christians have to be wise now. It's not the government. God didn't call the government to train up our children. He called us as parents to train up our children. We need to get our instruction how to train them up from the Word of God. That's our blueprint. That's our manual. And that is how God wants us to. How can we live the right way? You can only live the right way by knowing what the Word of God says, how we should live. And therefore, we need to dive into that Word. That's our guide. Dive into there and take out the things that we need for life and for future.
Proverbs 13:24 says, "Whosoever spare the rod hates their children, but the one who loves their children is careful to discipline them." The scripture instructs parents to discipline their children with the rod during their formative years. Spanking should be done only for the willful disobedient. It is the goal, the element of folly. Rebellion and disrespect for parents, adequate parental discipline administered in a wise, loving, and a considerate manner, help children to learn that wrong behavior carries unpleasant consequences and may involve suffering. God is like a father. He is our best example. God is like a father. Hebrews chapter 5 and verses 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 5 to 11 says, "My son, do not think the Lord discipline is worth nothing, and don't stop trying when he corrects you. The Lord disciplines everyone he loves. He punishes everyone he accepts as a child." This is what God's saying, right? My son, my daughter, do not think the Lord's discipline is worth nothing. And don't stop trying when he corrects you. The Lord's discipline everyone he loves. He punishes everyone he accepts as a child. So accept suffering like a father's discipline. God does these things to you like a father correcting his children. You know that all children are disciplined by their fathers. So if you never receive the discipline that every child must have, you are not true children and not really belongs to God. This is God's words. We have all had fathers here on earth who corrects us with discipline, and we respect them. So it is even more important that we accept discipline from the Father of our spirit. If we do this, we will have life. Our Father on earth disciplines us for a short time in the way they thought was best. But God disciplines us to help us so that we can be holy like Him. We do not enjoy discipline when we get it. It is painful, but later, after we have learned our lesson from it, we will enjoy the peace that comes from doing what is right. So in this passage, we can see discipline is painful.
At the present time, when we get this, when we're being disciplined, it is painful. We don't like it. But the Bible says, later on, it helps us. And it gives us that peace. We don't want to neglect our children and then leave later on in life, they end up in the hands of the authority. In prison, they become murderers, they become druggies, disrespectful to society. We don't want that. We want when our children grow up, they grow up having a family, loving their family, being a contribution to society, well respected, they can hold a proper job, and also they love God, and even able to help others to be respectful, and to be a contribution also in society. That is what we want from our children. We want the best for our children. So therefore, we have that responsibility to do what is right, because the Lord will hold us. If we don't, He will hold against us whatever happened to our children. He's going to hold that against us, because we fail them and we fail to do what God commanded us to do. They get a scripture say, if good is in your power to do it, right? If somebody is doing wrong and you know what is right to do, and you fail to help that person to do what is right, when if that person die, their blood is on your shoulder. And if you know what to do, know to do right, and fail to do it not, the Bible says sin. So you're sinning against God there. And also, if that person die, you withhold that good from that person, fail to tell the person what they're doing is wrong, but obviously the blood will be on your shoulder. You're guilty because you also partaking in that. For instance, if I see my son, Daniel, doing something wrong, and I fail to correct him, I say, I love Daniel, but what he's doing is wrong. And I fail to sit him down. I mean, he gets older now. I wouldn't spank his button. But I'll sit him down firmly, and have a firm word with him and tell him straight up, I love you, but what you're doing is wrong. It's not acceptable for God, and it's not acceptable for us, and it's not acceptable for society. What you're doing is absolutely wrong. And I will use the scripture and let him know why is it wrong and what he need to do. So therefore, when he grow up, he have a family, and when his family doing things wrong, or he himself also can able to teach his family how to live a good life, a respectable life, and a godly life. But if I fail to do that, and Daniel grew up and doing things contrary, it's all because of my fault. And I really and truly didn't love Daniel, because the Bible says he disciplined those he loved. So therefore, we as parents, if we love our kids, we need to discipline them and train them in a godly way. In the right way. Because there's a right and there's a wrong way. Because they have a proverb that said, there's a way that seems right to a man. So sometimes in our life, they have ways we try to say, well, God, you know, I really believe you, but I think this is a bit too harsh to deal with our kids.
I can't spank them. I can't talk to them like that. I don't want to hurt my kids. I love them too much to do that. Oh, come on, God. You know, but let the child grow up. Let him be, you know, a child. Let him grow up. When he gets old, he can change. No. You can see back the story of Eli. Because they were left on their own. What they do? They disrespect the place of worship. They disrespect the father's office. And they disrespect the people of God. So, as I say, the proverb says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end is destruction. The end is destruction. So, it's not our way. It's God's way. It's God's way. It's not the authority way, but it's God's way. You see, we as Christian, we have to take a stand. When the authority contradicts God's way, we need to take a stand. But it's going to cost us. It's going to cost us. It will. Last week, Andy was talking about, you know, coming to God, it's going to cost us. Being a disciple for Jesus, it will cost us. It's not just about feelings. It's about commitment. And it's going to cost us to taking a stand for our children. Because we're going to do everything, if we love them, in our powers to make sure that we impart the good to them. In spite of what the government say. God institute government. And he wants us to obey the government. But the government should never step out of line with God's rule. Anytime the government started to do that, we as Christians need to take a stand. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Remember these guys who were thrown to the fiery furnace? That's because they didn't bow to Nebuchadnezzar. He was the authority, right? But because his authority stepped out of line with God's authority. Therefore, these guys fear God and they take a stand. I will not bow to you. Even though God didn't come through and deliver us, I will still not bow to you. And we as Christians have to take that stand for our children to make sure that our children grow up in the right way. When they get old, you could only encourage them, but you can't make them to do it. When they reach the age of responsibility, because you impart the good into them, if they want to turn from it, you can't stop them, but you still have an influence in their life whereby you can still help them by encouraging them, telling them, right? But you can't make them to do it. But when they're young, you can impart that and you could allow them, because they are trainable, they are adaptable, right? And also they imitate what we do. So we need to be examples, role models to them. That is when we got to do it. When they're young. Not when they get old, you're trying to bend them. No, they're big men and big women. They want to do their own things. Right? But at a young age, we need to impart that into them. Don't leave it for when they get old. This is when they reach 15 and 16. You wanted to spank them. No, you're putting off a fight there. And even though you're an old man, you're going to be burnt out. Because they might knock you over. Right? So, do it when they're young. Do it when they're young. Not when they get to 20 and 30 and 40, you trying to bend them. No, you're going to break them. But they're going to break you because you're old. So therefore, God wants us to train them, to bring them up in the way that they should go. And why God wants us to do that? In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 to 4, it said, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for it is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first command which I give you, so that your days maybe long on the earth. We want our children to live a good old age. So therefore, if we want them to live that good old age, we need to teach them to respect God first, respect us, and then respect society, right? And to live good life, not to be abusers, not to be druggies, not to be thieves or disrespectful to society or the authorities, where every minute they're in prison. You know, it breaks your heart to see your kids going astray and you can't do anything about it. But it is what it was in your power, it was your responsibility, my responsibility, to do it in an early age, but we failed to do so. What I'm saying to you, brothers and sisters, today, God placed that burden upon us as parents, as leaders, to teach and to train our children in the right way, in God's way. Not man's way, but God's way. Don't overlook things, or don't say you love your kids and telling them, I'll leave them when they grow up, they're going to do things. No, we are saying actually to your kids, go out there and kill yourself. Because you're going to learn, and you're going to learn the hard way. And you're learning the wrong way. That's not what God say. God say, you and me, train them. Train them. Because they can be trained. Train them. Discipline them. When we need to discipline our children, discipline them. Do what is right. Do what God commands us to do. God didn't hate you. God didn't hate your kids. He loves us. He loves us. And he knows what is best. We don't know. But God knows what is best, and which is the best method, and which is the best way to bring up our children. We might think we know, but we don't until we go into the Word of God and find out what God say and how God wants us to train and to discipline our children. So I want to encourage each and every one of us today, brothers and sisters, to find out what God wants and how God wants us to bring up our children, how we want us to discipline, how we want us to train them. Use the Word of God. And at the end, our children will bring peace to us and will bring joy and happiness in our lives and also in their lives. They will be a good contribution to society, respectful people. They're able to hold a job down, hold the family, and to live respectful life. But if they fail to do so, God wouldn't be pleased with us. He wouldn't be pleased with our children. We look again at the story of Eli, because what these guys done, God was displeased with them. He was displeased with Eli. And what he do? He ordered them to be put to death, because they displeased God. And God wasn't pleased. So it's a lesson there for us to learn as parents. And a vital lesson. If we fail to train and discipline our children, there's consequences that we cannot undo. And that will break our heart. And then we will see God in a different light. Now we're going to start it to blame God and say God didn't love us. But God loves us. But when people being rebellious, disobedient to God,
His will. God take action. And sometimes the action is really painful. But God is a loving God, and He wants us to do what is right. But He says He will punish the disobedient. He will punish the disobedient. And God loves each and every one of us. We have a responsibility. Let us please, please do what God wants us to do. God loves our children. And we have that responsibility to train and to teach them, to discipline them, and to love them. God bless you. Thank you.